This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hello and welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray. I am joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol, and we're going to be looking ahead to the Champions League games coming up this week. But we will start with the news of Mauricio Pochettino, who is said to be interested in the vacant managerial role at Manchester United, so much so that he would even be willing to leave PSG mid-season. This has been all over the UK press today across every back page. So there is much to discuss as we now welcome in Don Hutchison and Julien Laurent to talk more about this very topic. Jules, would he really leave PSG for Manchester United?
Well, I wouldn't, for sure. But it looks like Mauricio Pochettino thinks differently than me. What we know, okay, for sure, is that he's not completely happy in Paris. I think he has struggled a bit to settle in. What the Parisians are making a big deal of is, for example, he's still at the hotel. He's been there 10 months and he hasn't moved in into a flat or a house. We know that the rest of the Pochettino family is still in London. So those little details maybe give you a bigger picture of the situation. He's not in good relationship with Leonardo, the PSG sporting director. And also, the most important of all is that United has always been this big dream of his. He's always dreamt of becoming the Manchester United manager one day. Remember the dinners with Sir Alex Ferguson, the fact that 3 years ago, when Solskjaer was only the interim coach at the time, it was also to wait for Pochettino to be able to leave Spurs to come to United. That didn't happen at the time. Maybe now it would be easier for them, but what's for sure is that he definitely wants to go there, and I think as soon as possible as well.
Jules, why didn't they just get him this summer? There's obviously interest from both sides.
Well, instead, they preferred giving a new 3-year deal to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Maybe they thought they could not get him because he also got a new deal in Paris, to be fair to him and to the United hierarchy. And maybe they thought after Solskjaer taking his United team to a Europa League final, albeit lost to Villarreal, second place in the Premier League as well, maybe they thought there was a bit of progress made there and that Solskjaer was in the right place and taking this team forwards. They were wrong, of course. But I don't think it would have been easier to get Poch back in the summer than it would be now or than it would be next summer. I think it's more or less the same. You still have to pay PSG compensation and potentially quite a big amount of money. But I just don't think that changes much. If you want it to happen, it can happen now, I'm sure. But you need to sit down, make a move and convince everyone from Poch to PSG that this is something that you can make work.
Don, do you think he'd be a good fit at Manchester United, the right man for the job?
I think he would be, Kay. I think they need someone that can strike a little bit of fear into that dressing room because the lunatics, in my opinion, are running the asylum there. You know, there's no accountability. I was on the Watford game in the weekend and it was rock bottom for Man United fans watching that. And I think it's unbelievably convenient as well that he's in Manchester preparing PSG for the Man City game. So we can't be naive enough to think that there's not going to be have conversations had in the next couple of days. I'm pretty sure that will be the case. And timing's key in football, Kay. I mean, if Pochettino turns around and says to Manchester, I'll come, but only in the summer, United then might move on. They might move on to Ten Hag or Zidane. You know, so timing's going to be key. And I'm pretty sure if Man United are serious, and they have to be, one of the biggest clubs in the world, they've got to now make the move. If they want Pochettino in, do it as quick as possible. Because I can't imagine a club the size of Man United with 26 games to go in the Premier League and still in the Champions League, going with an interim manager towards until the end of the season. You're almost writing the season off. It's criminal if that happens.
Shaka, let's say he does get the job. We've seen what's happened with recent managers in recent history at Manchester United. What can he do to change things at United that the others haven't been able to?
Well, the one thing you have to say about Pochettino is he brings good football. That's what you saw at Spurs. He developed a team at Southampton into a decent outfit on far more meagre resources. And it's a different project, yes, but I think one that he's prepared for and certainly has the experience to deal with. He'll have a bigger budget. He'll be able to attract better players. And I think it's a good fit. I really do. And especially when you consider what's available or not available, as the case may be, I think Pochettino is where Manchester United need to fix their focus. To Jules's point, if they can somehow come to terms with the PSG hierarchy and whatever they demand, because they, while they may not be thrilled with the job that Pochettino is doing, they do not want to be seen as being able to be pushed around. You saw that in all, you saw that in your dealings with Mbappe, that they make the final decision. It's not up to you, regardless of what it costs. This is our say. And that, for me, is the highest hurdle for Manchester United to negotiate right now.
So let's say he does come into Manchester United, Stevie. What would his expectations be at this club? What would they be expecting from him?
Well, straight away, they would be expecting top four. I don't think it's fair on anybody coming in, regardless of what their name is, that you turn around and say, well, you need to win the Premier League. I think, first and foremost, they have to get in the top four, and it has to be consistent, and then they have to lift the team to a position where every time they step on the field, there's a level of consistency, a level of greatness, because that's what Manchester United ask for and deserve with the size of the club. So, yeah, straight off the bat, it's got to be top four.
Top four this season in the short term. And here's the silly thing about football and the kind of short-term, short memory we have about this game. People see what Tuchel did with Chelsea. And we discussed Manchester United now compared to Chelsea when Tuchel took over last season. I don't think there's that much of a difference. Craig, speaking yesterday, thought that Chelsea were far better. I don't think that there's that much of a difference. I think pound for pound, squad for squad, Manchester United right now can be compared to the Chelsea that Tuchel took over. And in 6 months, he wins the Champions League. And now all of a sudden, your Manchester United or the new coach is coming in. Because of that short-term nature of the game, people are saying, well, you've got a decent squad there. You've got Champions League winners in Ronaldo and Varane. You've got talent in Sancho. You've got talent in De Gea and Bruno Fernandes. You should be able to make this work. And that, all of a sudden, becomes the expectation rather ridiculously.
Yeah, we'll talk about expectations when we come to the Champions League now. As Don mentioned, PSG will be taking on Man City this week in Manchester as we take a look at the Group A standings. And Stevie, I want to come back to you with this one. Let's say that this news is taken as gospel by some of those players in the PSG dressing room. How do you feel as a player in that dressing room, knowing that your manager might be willing to up and leave in the middle of the season for another club? Does it make a difference?
At a normal club, it would. But PSG's not normal.
Yeah.
And I get the impression that these players really are not that bothered who the manager is. They couldn't have cared less when Unai Emery gone. They couldn't have cared less when Tuchel went. Is it going to be any different if Pochettino goes? I don't think they'll bat an eyelid. Listen, there's players in that PSG team, they kind of run things, regardless of who the manager is. That's what I think.
Don said earlier that at Manchester United, the lunatics are running the asylum. I'm not sure who's running Manchester United. But without question, at PSG, it is definitely the lunatics in charge.
Jules, what do you think? The players wouldn't bat an eyelid if he were to leave mid-season.
I'm not sure. I think that's part of the job. Your manager can be sacked at any time. I think the messages that Pochettino has been sending through in the last few days, in all the interviews that he made on both sides of the channel, in France and in England, if you're a PSG player and you read your manager saying, well, my project is not really the same as the PSG project because I need time. I want to put stuff in place. And in Paris, you need to win. It's all about winning. Straight away, you have to win. If I'm in this PSG dressing room, I'm not happy because as your manager, his job is to make you win. I don't care about his project thing and I need a bit of time. I need to be settling in here. You know, my project is a 5-year project, is this and that. You want him to make you win. So I don't know how they will feel. I think a lot of them like him. He's very likable as a manager. He's very close to a lot of the players. I think there's a good feeling between him and a lot of the players. But if he doesn't want to be there, as a player, you would rather someone on your bench that actually wants to be there and wants to make you win and share the same mindset than you, than someone who, one, doesn't want to be there And that would be the case if Poch stays. If he's forced to stay when we all know that he wants to leave, that could be a problem if you're a player. And also if you're not on the same page. If his mentality is not winning right now, this is not the priority, this is not the pragmatism that he likes, but he's thinking more in 3 or 4 or 5 years' time. If you're Kylian Mbappe, this is your last season at the club. The only season you will have with Neymar and Messi, you want to win now, not in 4 years' time. You won't even be there anymore. So I can also see why there would be a bit of a difference between his dressing room and what he's thinking and feeling right now.
So let's talk about winning right now when it does come to this game against Man City. We've got all of your predictions. Everybody has gone for a Manchester City win here. How are PSG actually treating this game then, Jules? Does finishing first in the group matter to them? Is it a must-win for them in their eyes?
Yeah, I think so. I think they want to finish top. This is obviously them going back to where the Champions League last season ended, in that semi-final second leg under the snow at the Etihad. They've got Paredes back and Marco Verratti back, which I think is very important when you play against City. And I completely expect them to start this game because their quality on the ball to beat the City press and try to find and hit Messi and Neymar as high as possible on the pitch to force City to defend and run towards their goal will be very key in this game. But I think they also know that City have to be favourite in the form that they are in. At the moment, we saw them destroying Everton, we saw them destroying United in each side of the international break. So it's a tough game, but at least they've got everybody pretty much available. Mbappe was ill today, he didn't train, but I think he will be okay for Wednesday. Marquinhos didn't play at the weekend, but he will be okay for Wednesday as well, like Kimpembe. So it's a big test, but I think they will be up for it.
Also this week, it is Manchester United taking on Villarreal under caretaker manager Michael Carrick. And let's get back into the dressing room then, if we can, Don. This time we'll go into the Manchester United dressing room. What's that going to be like then? Because obviously Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's gone, but Michael Carrick's part of his team, and now they're all going to be listening to his orders.
Yeah, and I know Michael from my West Ham days. He's quite a quiet character as well, so I'm trying to envisage how Michael would deliver that sort of rip-roaring team talk, because that's not really in him. He's quite quiet and quite reserved. So he's come out and said today that he sees things a little bit different from Ollie, which always seems a little bit strange. I worked with Paul Scholes today, and Paul Scholes made a good point. He went, if Man United are going to sack Ollie, why didn't they sack the whole backroom staff as well? And I actually tend to agree with him, because if you're the backroom staff at Man United and you've just seen the manager go and you're all thinking exactly the same thing on how you see the team and the formations and the individuals, I can't imagine anything in the short term is going to change.
So what can he do differently then, Carrick, to get something out of this team, Stevie, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wasn't doing?
Change.
Change what?
You know, because a lot of people, you know, Don was saying there, well, he was the assistant, so why was it going to be any different? I was also an assistant. And there was an awful lot of things that I would not have done that the manager was doing when I was there. But you're not in a position to turn around and say, oh, hold on a second. Don't do that. Be doing this, be doing that, be doing that. You're not in a position to do that.
You actually say to the players, I know he said it this way once he's gone.
No, you don't say it that way. No, not at all. Well, you can't. That's the thing. You cannot go and say to the players, well, the manager's still there.
No, not while he's still there. Now he's gone, can he say, I know he did it that way, but...
Well, it depends on whether they want the job. If Michael Carrick wants the job, then he has to turn into his own man, and he has to change training, change the starting 11, change the setup, change the way they're all thinking. I mean, that's what's needed. But if Michael Carrick doesn't want this job, if Michael Carrick just wants to be an assistant and stay at Manchester United, he's not going to ruffle any feathers. It's just going to be more of the same.
But correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Michael Carrick on the staff of Jose Mourinho as well? So if when Jose goes, Michael Carrick is already on the backroom staff, and at no point anybody in the club considers him, that they turn to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's coaching in Norway, who had a spell in English football and did terribly at it. Why do you overstep Michael Carrick to hand the reins to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer if you don't have that confidence in him now? So I say that to make the point that I don't see how anybody has the confidence in Michael Carrick this time around. And to what Don was saying, now is the time that you let the lunatics really run loose in the asylum. Let them. I have no problem at this juncture. Nothing is working. You have more than enough experience in that dressing room for them to at least suggest, well, this is our preferred formation. This is what we want to do. Give that a shot, because I'm not sure that Michael Carrick is the man that rights a ship.
No, you can't do that.
All right.
You start doing that, all the best. Right, lads, what do you fancy the day? Do you want to start changing training, or do you want to, I mean, picking the team?
Somebody has to steer the ship. Give it to Ronaldo. You have Michael Carrick, who doesn't have the faith of the dressing room because of the association with Solskjaer. He doesn't have the faith of the board, clearly. So then what?
So hold on, we started the show by saying it's wrong the lunatics are running the asylum. Now you want to give them the go-ahead.
Yeah.
You better join them then.
All right, so we got your predictions on this one, and this is going to be interesting because it wasn't agreed to across the board like the rest of the predictions were for the last game with everyone going for Man City. Jules has actually gone for a Manchester United win. Why, Jules?
I love a caretaker bounce. That's how I call it. I don't know, I just think there's something in this whole story that is going to be... Something will happen. I haven't been impressed by Villarreal. I was in the reverse fixture at Old Trafford where they played really well and should have won that game. But since then, it's been a bit hit and miss. Their draw at the weekend was not very good either. They don't have Gerard Moreno. They still have a few players missing. Donnarumma might not even be playing either. So it could be a very much weakened Villarreal team. And I just think that some sort of pride in that United dressing room surely at some point will kick on. And they can prove a more decent performance than anything we've seen in the last few weeks and go and win that game.
Okay, well, you can actually get Craig Burley's rant on everything that's going on at Manchester United right now. If you subscribe to our ESPN FC page on YouTube, go over there. There's a lot more content, including more Champions League talk as well. Subscribe to keep up to date with everything. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. We'll continue talking Champions League, though, as we head to Group H, where Juventus are top with 4 wins from 4. But everyone in this game of our panel has picked a Chelsea win, except for Don Hutchison. Don, why?
I think it's going to be tight. I think it's a game where I think Max Allegri will rest one or two because they've already qualified for the knockout stages. I think Chelsea are in a good moment as well. They're in fantastic form, and it might be a chance for Thomas Tuchel just to try and get one or two players back. If he brings Lukaku back, he might not be match fit if he is fit. I think it's one of them games where I think you're in for a good tactical battle. But I don't see really anyone coming out on top. I think it's extremely tight. It's a difficult one to call. That's why I've gone for a draw.
We've got Gab Marcotti coming in and joining us now because we are going to turn the focus on Juventus as well. But just sticking with Chelsea, when it comes to the favourites, they're fifth favourites to win the Champions League overall. The defending champions, the top of the Premier League, are they being seen as overrated, Don? Underrated.
I don't think anyone's thinking that about Chelsea because they know with Thomas Tuchel have got an elite manager, and what they are, they're really solid at the back. You can't score against them, and if you're trying to play against Chelsea at this present time, you've got no idea who to mark because they're scoring from all over the pitch. You know, the wing-backs are scoring, Rudiger's scoring goals, they're scoring goals in midfield, Kante got his goal at the weekend. Then once they have Timo Werner back, and especially Romelu Lukaku, they're only going to get better. So I'm not quite sure how they're down at 15-2. I'd have them a little bit higher, but I think when you look at the teams above them, you know, Liverpool, in my opinion, could win the Champions League this season. I don't see PSG winning the Champions League. I've got them nowhere near. I'd have Chelsea above them for sure. And then you're trying to look at Bayern and Man City. So I would imagine it's very tight. I don't have PSG above Chelsea at all, though.
Gab, as for Juve, there were eight in the Serie A table right now. They're 11 points back of top spot. Should they be prioritising the Champions League?
Well, no, because it's really important to be in the Champions League. And so there's no question that the priority has to be a top four finish. That's simply the economic reality of football today, especially at Juventus after the losses they sustained over these COVID-impacted last two seasons. That said, I think it's a really big deal to finish first as opposed to second in your group. They know that a draw will most likely get it done, and I think that's what they're going to set out to do. Finishing second does you no good if you're Juventus, and then, boom, you get drawn against Manchester City or Bayern Munich, and then, suddenly the odds are stacked against you. Finish first, however, and it's a different story. You buy yourself a little more time. I think they're here to compete on both fronts.
We're going to see Barcelona's first Champions League game under Xavi Hernandez as well. They're taking on Benfica in the pre-match presser. He had a very positive mindset, but they have only scored two Group E goals to date. They lost 3-0 to Benfica in September. We're just looking at the table. Obviously, Bayern Munich are runaway leaders in this one. But in terms of prediction, Stevie, Gab and Jules are all predicting a draw. And Jules, I'm drawn to talking to you here because you were anti-Koeman and you were calling him the Dutch guy. Why are you still picking against Barcelona? Is Xavi just the Catalan guy for you?
I'm not picking against them. I just think this is a work in progress. We saw it against Espanyol where they could easily have drawn the game, maybe even lost it towards the end. So I don't think we can expect Xavi to do anything sort of magical straight away. So this will take time. They still have a lot of players out, although some are coming back slowly into the squad and we will see them coming back into the squad for the game. But I think it's still a work in progress, and this Benfica team is a good team. They're certainly on good form and would have taken a lot of confidence for the reverse fixture and that 3-0 win against them. So I don't expect this to be easy at all for Xavi, and that's why I went for a draw.
Luck might be on their side, though, guys. I can see your reactions to the images that you're seeing.
Yeah, luck certainly was on their side on the weekend against Espanyol. And I think it continues at home. I think there's still a feel-good feeling about Xavi coming in. And in many respects, I see the game going very similarly to the one Espanyol, where some of the football is good, they maybe fade towards the end, but Benfica, who haven't been great in this competition at all, just fail to capitalise on a Barcelona that are still a shadow of them their former selves.
All right, well, if you ever do miss an ESPN FC show, don't worry, you can download the podcast edition. You'll always get some bonus content on there, but we do also have ESPN available for you 7 days a week on ESPN Plus.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get talking about something I'd love to get Stevie's opinion on, though, right now. Jurgen Klopp and Mikel Arteta getting into it on the sidelines during Liverpool's clash with Arsenal at the weekend. Both got yellows for their antics. After Liverpool's first goal, though, Stevie, Jurgen Klopp did the old Harry Maguire celebration.
He did,
cup the ears.
Yeah.
What have you got to say about that? I know you weren't too happy when you saw Harry Maguire do it.
Well, there's a difference. He's doing that because he's got the sense not to walk across to the other side of the little area and look straight at Mikel Arteta and do that. He's got the brains to send a message without shoving it in his face and without being, without the officials giving him any trouble for it.
So it's all about where he's standing in the box.
Oh, absolutely.
Listen,
if he walks over to the other side and looks at Mikel Arteta and goes like this, he's going to get himself in trouble. He was already booked. It's a smart move. He's sending the message.
Oh, it's smart. It's not smart.
No, absolutely
not. All right, when you were a player, if your coach did that, how would you have felt about it?
I'd have been delighted. You just had a spat with the guy sat next to you. We've all sat here and said that, you know, we think that after that, Liverpool raised the game. That's the answer to your question. It looks like it.
So it's all about the cup in the ears.
It's all about the fire of the manager.
Don, we want to get to you on your player power rankings, and we're also going to get Shaka involved. And the reason we're doing so right now is because of that game. Aaron Ramsdale let in 4 goals in that game. You've still got him in your power rankings. Let's take a look at it here. Well, I'm saying still because he was in the other week. Here he is in new, number 3. Before you even explain this, Shaka, surely even the goalkeepers union cannot agree with a goalkeeper being in there who's just let 4 goals in at the weekend.
Surely you've never met me, Kate. Quite clearly, you've never met me. The amount of goals that Ramsdale lets in on this occasion is nothing to do with Aaron Ramsdale. The fact that if he wasn't as good as he was, we could be talking 7 or 8, is the reason he's in Don's power rankings.
Exactly,
You surprised me, Kate. I did actually
toy with the idea of putting David De Gea in, and then I thought, actually, because he saved 2 pens, and I thought, there's no way I'm putting a Man United player in my power rankings after what I saw at the weekend. Mm. And you're right, Ramsdale was terrific. You're right, Shaka, it could have been a lot more.
All right, then, talk us through the rest of the power rankings then, Don, and who's in and why.
Well, I think everyone knows my love for Conor Gallagher all of a sudden, Kay. I absolutely love him. He's been in my power rankings for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I think he's terrific. I mean, he's one player, I'm sure, that Thomas Tuchel's going to bring back to Chelsea and going to save Chelsea so much money in the summer. Salah's back to scoring ways. Corne's got 5 goals and 6. And if you've seen his left foot volley at the weekend against Palace, what a goal that was. And then probably the assist of the season so far from João Cancelo for Raheem Sterling. And we all talk about people like Reece James who can play centre mid, and the arguments will go on about Trent, he's a right back, but can he play centre mid? If there's one fullback, I think, in world football that can play any position and especially be even a number 10, if you like, it's João Cancelo. I just think the guy is utterly amazing.
As long as he doesn't have to defend, he's correct.
How about the list overall? Are you all right with it?
I'm desperate to give Don some stick.
I can't come up with anything at all. Connor's fantastic.
Yes. Conor Gallagher's been fantastic. Ramsdale, even though he let in 4, is fantastic. You've got to have Mo Salah in it. I mean, Cancelo doesn't... I mean, he doesn't have to defend, which is good, because I don't think he can. But when you're sticking passes like that in... So, no, I'm sorry.
I think Don's rankings are so good, he should do the top 10.
No.
Don't be sarcastic. I think Don should be promoted.
That would be
Everyone
hard.
Would miss you too much. Anyway, I wouldn't miss me. There is a question about João Cancelo coming up in extra time. And if you would like more nonsense from this gang, then make sure to check us out there. We'll be Stevie, Shaka and Don on today's extra time. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Over to the Serie A, where it was a very fun day on Sunday. A dramatic results. Inter beating Napoli 3-2. Gab Marcotti back with us, and Don also on the call for this game. But Gab, I'd like to start with Inter on this one. What's so different with the style of play in this Inter side to what we were seeing from Antonio Conte's team?
What's different? For a start, it's not as... this is a team that attacks you in many different ways. They kind of have to because they're not as talented as last season. I mean, let's not forget, as I've noted many times, they lost two of their best players, and Ashraf Hakimi and, of course, Romelu Lukaku. You can't ask Edin Dzeko to move the way that Lukaku does and do the same things because he's a different sort of player, and he's obviously a lot older, too. But I think what they do have is they have more depth. They have got more players who pop up at different times. They can attack you from different positions in the pitch. And I think also that... I don't want to say that they're resilient because, of course, you see them and, you know, they go a goal down, they come back 3-1 up, everything's great. And then, you know, they concede a goal to make it 3-2. And then Handanovic just to make a ridiculous save or a lucky save, depending on your perspective. And then Mertens misses the goal that would have made it 3-3. So they always have this fragility about them. And in that sense, they're a bit like what Inter were before. But they certainly, I think, a more multifaceted team than they were under Conte.
With Napoli, that was a really nasty clash that we saw between Victor Osimhen and Milan Skriniar. It's a fractured eye socket, a broken cheekbone. It looks as though he's going to be out for at least 2 months. And obviously, we wish him well, Gab, but that's not good news for Napoli, is it, to lose him?
No, because Osimhen at his best is one of the best center forwards around, not just in Serie A, but I'd say in Europe. And of course, they went through this last season as well when he had COVID and he missed a big chunk of games. I think in some ways, they do have alternatives. They can play Mertens through the middle. They've got Petagna, who's a different sort of striker. They have other players in the lineup who can get you goals, from Zielinski from midfield to, of course, Insigne. Chucky Lozano can chip in with them. And I think more than most managers, Spalletti is good at finding creative solutions when he's confident and acting sane, which isn't always the case. But there's no question about it. It is a really, really big loss for Napoli.
And Don, what do you think? Do you think his absence is going to impact the title race?
Huge, Kay. Honestly, the guy is, I say that loosely because he's just a young boy, but he's an incredible player. You know, he's a little bit of Tino Asprey, the way he's leggy and he runs the channels and he's so good in the air. And he's quite slight, but he's brave. Like, he's unbelievably brave. He gets whacked everywhere from centre-halves in Serie A and he keeps getting up off the ground. And that's a body blow, just as, you know, Milan lost against Fiorentina and then all of a sudden Napoli lose and Inter win. It brings them back into the title race. And I agree with Gab. I think when you look at Inter, what they've got a different way of playing. Edin Dzeko can play and he's a good player. Correa's done quite well this season. Lautaro Martinez, we know, is an excellent centre forward. So they've got technicians in midfield that can control the tempo of the game at any given time. So the losses for Napoli and Milan have brought certainly Inter back into the equation.
Yeah, very important win for them. Meanwhile, Jose Mourinho's Roma side beat Genoa 2-0. And there was a change for him. It was 18-year-old Felix Afenagian coming on for a sub and scoring 2 goals for Mourinho. Gab, can you tell us more about this player?
Well, I'll tell you more about what Mourinho did because it's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's vintage Mourinho. Talk about bravery. Roma weren't doing well in Serie A. They had a bad result against Venezia. It's a driving rain. You're up against Genoa with a new manager, Shevchenko. He's making it very, very hard for you. You know, people are becoming impatient. Fans are murmuring. You do have Nicolò Zaniolo, who is the wunderkind, easily Roma's most talented player, but he's had a tough time on the bench. I think 99% of managers would have said, all right, fine, let's take the draw here. Let me just send on Zaniolo. Maybe he'll do something. At least I won't get criticized for not sending him on. Because it is a big deal if Zaniolo sits out. Instead, what does he do? No, he turns to this kid, Felix Afenagian, making only his third appearance in Serie A. not only does he score almost straight away, he then adds a second, which is an even better goal. And Mourinho thoroughly vindicated here. And a quick side note to this, Kay. Mourinho had had promised him that if he scored a goal, he would buy him these sneakers, these 800 euro sneakers, almost $1,000 sneakers. I don't know what kind of sneakers cost that much because they're well above my sneaker budget. But in any case, with the two goals, he bought him those sneakers, put the video out there today. And I don't know if he'd only scored once, whether he only would have bought him a left shoe and then, you know, forced him to score again to buy the other one. But still, it's definitely a Mourinho moment.
Yeah, in case you are interested, Gab, they're a pair of Balenciaga Speed sneakers. Yeah, if you want to get yourself a pair yourself.
I've seen Gab's sneaker game.
Let
me say, though, Don, you were on the call for this game. How good was his performance?
Kay was unbelievable, and Gab's right. You know, when Gab talks about the 99% that would have brought Zaniolo on, because I was commentating on the game, and it's exactly what I said. Zaniolo's face on the bench was a picture because he was fuming. It was a 0-0 written all over it, and Genoa were trying to hold on for a 0-0 Shevchenko's first game, as Gab said. And then I'm commentating on the game, and the game was starting to open up, and Roma were attacking, but they couldn't break through. And I'm thinking, surely this is the game for Zaniolo to come off the bench. Jose knows exactly what he's doing. He brings a Fenerjan off the bench. Great finish with the first one. He gets put in on the right-hand side. Mkhitaryan had a brilliant game, and he's slid him in, and an instep finish into the side net and bottom corner. And then right on full time, you know, Mkhitaryan was driving forward. El Shaarawy was brilliant on the left-hand side. He was excellent. And he dropped a little ball to a Fenerjan. And he was on the angle, probably, I'm guessing, about 35 yards, 40 yards on the angle. And he just whipped it straight into the top corner. And as the ball hit the back of the net, the referee blew for full time. And the scenes were amazing. And you never forget your first goal in professional football, and he's scored a couple. And I would like to think that dressing room would have been buzzing for the youngster, because he's had some story. And even Jose Mourinho going in there with all the experienced Roma players must have been delighted for him, because he's one of these players where you're warm to him, Kay. Like, you know, he plays the game, he runs around, he's intelligent, he scores goals, he's physically strong, but he plays it with a massive smile on his face, and his enthusiasm is so infectious.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing more of him, although Mourinho would probably have to pump the brakes on making bets like that, or it could be costing him a pretty penny. Anyway, there's more talk about this, and there's more from Gab, who we thank for joining us on the Gab and Jules podcast, the latest one dropped today. Make sure you download that and take a listen.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, in Ligue 1, the game between Lyon and Marseille was abandoned on Sunday after this. Dimitri Payet hit by a bottle from the stands. Jules Rand back with us to talk about this moment. Can you tell us more about what happened and what the repercussions have been, Jules?
Yeah, it was really sad scenes. Okay, not for the first time this season, we saw the same one between Nice and Marseille 3 months ago, where Payet was hit with a bottle, threw it back at the Nice Ultras. Chaos followed after that, and I thought that maybe, well, I thought back then that Nice-Marseille game, all the sanctions were too soft. And I think that's why we're here again, 3 months later, similar story, similar chaos. Once the game was stopped and suspended the first time, we thought it was going to restart. The Lyon player came back out to warm up. The Marseille players didn't want to come back out and resume the game. In the end, it was a complete chaos, complete mess. The game was definitely abandoned an hour and 40 minutes after it was first stopped, because they could not agree on anything. Listen, you attack an opposition player, one of your fans throws something to an opposition player, you lose the game, you lose 3-0, the game is abandoned straight away, people go home. I know it's a shame, especially this one is a big game, it's a big derby, it's the Olimpico, etc. I don't care. You lose the game, and then you get a stadium ban or behind closed doors for a few weeks, and that would teach your fans, that would teach you, because clearly Lyon could not control their fans. The Marseille players were in danger on that pitch. Dimitri Payet just went to take a corner kick and almost ended up in, could have ended up in hospital and with something really serious. In the end, he's still under shock. Nothing, he will play again and there's no problem. But this is unacceptable. And I really hope now that the French League Discipline Committee will go really hard on Lyon after what happened on Sunday night, because it's just, again, unacceptable.
What's been the talk then? How has there been any so far, Jules, of what the punishment could be?
Well, yeah, of course, Jean-Michel Aulas, who is the very powerful Lyon owner and president, saying, like, it would be crazy if the game is not played again, if we don't replay this game in full. And remember the Nice-Marseille game, and that's where the problem is. Instead of having that game lost to Nice because of the attack from the ultras on Dimitri Payet, they replayed that game behind closed doors, the whole game in Troyes. And I think now Lyon people are expecting the same answer to what happened on Sunday night, which is their game against Marseille, to be replayed. But I really hope that the French League, and we will know on December the 8th what the sanctions are, I really hope they go hard, because now it's enough to be soft. This has led to nothing. We're back in the same position, maybe even worse. So let's make sure that they go hard now on Lyon. And like I said, give them a defeat. But again, the problem is what you did with Nice-Marseille, you kind of have to do the same now again. Otherwise, the direction that you took, which was the wrong one, but that is the precedent that you've set before. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it'd be very interesting to follow.
Yeah, and Lyon themselves need to get in a better position when it comes to the Ligue 1 table, just in the top 10 so far. And when games are getting stopped, they're not going to get the chance to get the points that they need to climb up the table. Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show. But stick around, because Shaka and Stevie have decided that they want to stay back and answer a few of your questions. Don Hutchison will be with us as well. Extra time up next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. I wonder how many of you have been eagle-eyed as to notice that Stevie's got a little nick in the nick. In nickel on his chin.
You have another one.
He was all sensitive before the show. It's like, I wonder if anybody noticed that I nicked myself shaving.
There you are, eh?
Don Hutchison, did you realise that Stevie had cut himself shaving today?
I didn't see it, but I'm surprised you've not lent him any makeup.
So this is the thing. This is the thing. He waits till we're sat down and I've not got my makeup with me. And said, had you told me before, I would have helped you and sorted
you
out.
Oh, you were all nice, going, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah. It'll be fine.
If you told me before,
worry.
I would have helped you.
No,
and now here she is telling the whole world.
Hey, exactly. She said, nobody will notice. She failed to add until I tell them all.
Sorry about that, Stevie. Good.
Cheers. I hope you sleep tonight.
Trust you right to bed, Stevie, isn't she?
I hope your two kids are up crying all night.
The boat's looking a lot smoother than you on this lap, let me tell you. All right. Okay, let's get started. Don, has Bernardo Silva been the best player in the league so far this season? In terms of consistency and impact for his team, he's always shown up when it's mattered most.
I think he's up there, but I think for Man City fans, I think they would probably say João Cancelo, okay, in all honesty, but in the big games he showed up. I think it was the Chelsea game where he was unbelievable. And I think Pep played him in a sort of number six role, and he was defending, he was in his own 80-yard box, he was heading balls away. And for a player that looked like he was out the door in the summer when rumoured Harry Kane was coming in, he's had a right turnaround, but I would lean towards João Cancelo, to be honest.
I do have a question. How come he's not in your power rankings then?
Yeah.
Who?
If he's that good, if you're saying he's been the best player
Bernardo
in the league
Silva?
So far this season, he scored a goal. By the way, a goal is more important than a pass, by the way, and the last time I held. So why is he not in the power rankings, Don?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why, because he's not been as good as João Cancelo, Stevie, if you were listening.
Goals. The game's about goals, Don.
Okay.
Oh, come on. It's not all about goals, Stevie. Come on. You could have an absolute
shocker. You don't score goals, you don't win games.
Stevie,
you don't win games.
I can remember being... Stevie, I can remember being in the Liverpool dressing room after a game, and I come in and I scored the winner, and Jamie Redknapp was sat to me and he went, "What's the matter with you? You got a right face on." And I went, "I was terrible today." And he went, "Just look at the papers tomorrow morning, you've scored the winner." So you can have a shocker in a game and score. It doesn't mean you were brilliant.
This is the person that doesn't remember playing golf in South Africa, but he remembers being in a dressing room. Hey?
Well, yeah. But yeah, but there was alcohol involved in South Africa.
Don't look at me. I don't remember that.
So, Stevie, the South African trip, you threw me out the buggy in front of the crocodiles.
Hold on a second. See, you can't even get your story right.
I don't know the story. I was drunk. I can't remember the story.
No, I was not. Well, what's the point in telling you then if you don't remember?
Well, I need to know. I need to know what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're on a need-to-know basis, then right now you don't need to know, OK?
Yeah. And drink more responsibly, Don.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. João Cancelo actually comes up in the next question. Best fullback, Stevie, from 1 to 3. Reece James, João Cancelo or Trent Alexander-Arnold?
Wow.
So let's see, number one is the best, number three is the third best.
Wow. Well, from a defensive point of view, I would say Reece James is slightly ahead of the other two. I don't see how you can't have Trent Alexander-Arnold not as first.
Right. Yeah. I want it to be overall. To be, it's not just in one aspect of the game. It's overall for you.
Overall, you got to have Trent Alexander. Then I think you have to have Reece James for the goals that he's been scoring recently, and then Cancelo. But that sounds a little harsh on Cancelo because he's been fantastic.
Obviously, Don should have Cancelo top, shouldn't he?
It's one of them, though, isn't it? It doesn't matter what order you pick those three in, someone's going to have a different opinion because they're all brilliant.
Yeah,
Checker's nodding along.
I concur.
Yeah, he concurs. Right, Stevie. Conte's passion and enthusiasm feels extremely infectious. Do you think he has enough to pick up the whole squad?
He has enough to pick the whole squad up. It depends on how the squad reacts to it. Not everybody reacts the same. You know, you always hear us talking about some players need an arm around them and some need a swift-sized 11 right up the backside. If they've got too many that need an arm around them, then that's when it becomes difficult. You know, if you've got players that can accept when maybe they haven't done the job properly, if they can accept that responsibility and accept the manager coming up to them and giving them it straight, then that's powerful and it works. But if you've got a bunch who like to try and shift the responsibility for things that go wrong as often as they can, sometimes the old strong arm tactics don't work.
Okay, nice. Xhaka, who's the best goalkeeper in their absolute prime? Casillas, Neuer or Buffon?
I am going to go 1 Buffon, 2 Neuer, 3 Casillas.
I can't believe you're disrespecting Casillas like that.
I don't know how Casillas gets in before the other two. But first of all...
Here's a question.
First of all, you know me and Buffon, will you?
You go way back.
Yeah, me and
Absolute
Buffon.
Absolute Bezos.
We're like that.
Here's a question.
Yeah?
If they were playing right now, would you have Buffon over Neuer at their best? Because Buffon with his feet...
That's a good point. That's a very good question. See what you're trying to do. You're trying to come in between me and Gigi. That's what you're trying to do. I'm not having it, Stephen. I will not have Buffon.
Yeah, top the bromance is too strong.
Oh, thank you very much.
Find yourself someone who loves you like Xhaka loves Buffon, and things will be good for you, all right? A question now. Have any of you received anything special from your manager after a special performance? So I'll start with you, Don. Obviously, this is relating to Mourinho and finding himself buying €800 shoes after Roma's game the other day.
I don't think so. I mean, my first boss was a guy called Cyril Knowles. Nice one, Cyril. The ex-Tottenham player when I was at Hartlepool. And he had a fascination about cars. Like, he loved these cars more than you can ever imagine. And during the day, he used to put running sessions on, and then he put this mad run around from Victoria Ground, Hartlepool, all the way around the docks, around the marina, and the first one back got to clean his car. That was his way of thinking. If you run the hardest, you're allowed to clean my car. And then afterwards, on a match day, honestly, God's honest truth, on a match day, after a game, he would come in and he would go, "Hey, Rolls Royce. Hey, Ford Escort. Hey, Mini Metro." And he'd score you on what he thought the best cars were. And when you went home, my brain was like thinking like, Ford Escort, was that good? Was it an XR3i? Which what was it?
Hang on, let me get this straight. If you ran fastest and you were best, you got to clean his car.
Yeah.
So didn't everybody just make sure that they didn't do their best, so that they didn't have to do that?
The other one, because I think there was an incentive to clean the car, otherwise something like you go again or you've done more running. So you actually tried your best to win the race just to clean the boss's car.
Poor Don, I'm going to have to get him a... Maybe we should send him a present, seeing as though in his career he never got anything special after a special
performance. I'll take a pair of Balenciagas, OK?
I bet you would.
You can come clean my car, Don, if you want. You can come clean my car.
I'll take Balenciagas.
I thought you might. Shaka, how about you?
What? Nah, nothing.
No, never?
No, I was the first I'm hearing of that. You, Steve?
Stevie?
I've never heard of that before.
Well, see, Mourinho's not as bad as everybody says he is.
Well, he probably only said
it. Best team talk, Kay. Best team talk from Peter Reid at Sunderland. Win today on a Saturday, he used to say. Win today, see you Tuesday. And you wouldn't believe how the lads felt when they ran out thinking, if we win today, 3 days off.
I've heard this a lot. I bet you guys have had something similar to that during your careers. Did you ever hear that from a coach? No? No?
Not really, no.
No?
No. No. Yeah. See, what Don doesn't, what Don's forgetting to add is that Peter's saying that because Peter is desperate to be off to Tuesday as well.
I mean, I'll be honest, I used to see Peter Reid out in the North East nightclubs myself now and again, so that probably just makes sense. Yeah. Tall trees.
There's a bit of double bluff going on there.
Yeah, all right. Last of all, for all three, I'm coming to Shaka first. For all three, what's the best holiday vacations they've been on?
Why are you laughing? Why you come to me first? And why, I don't understand why you just start laughing straight away, Kate.
But, you know, you're a real travel connoisseur,
so. still, my favourite place to go is back home, Trinidad and Tobago. You can't beat it. After that, let me see where I've been that I'll always recommend. Turks and Caicos in the Caribbean. Barbados is good. In Europe, I've been to Capri and absolutely loved it.
Okay, at Capri?
Yeah.
Very nice, right?
Very nice.
I have a power ranking, a top two power ranking for you. Buffon or vacations?
Oh. Buffon will be rowing that boat. Let me tell you, no chance. No chance, Gigi.
There you go,
I'm going
Gigi.
On holiday.
Know your place when it comes to the vacays.
Yeah,
you take your place
I'll send
a
you
second.
A postcard. I'll send you a postcard. How about that?
Stevie.
Probably say Portugal. When the kids were younger, we used to go there every summer to the same place. Yeah, rent a villa.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How was your Portuguese?
Sorry?
How's your Portuguese?
Is that a language?
Might be.
I thought you spoke Spanish in Portugal.
His Portuguese is the same as his English, just slower.
No, they speak Brazilian in Portugal, that's what it is.
Oh my goodness. Don, help us out.
For a bit of romance, the best place I've ever been is Positano in Italy. That is absolutely gorgeous. St. Vincent's, I went to St. Vincent's about 4 years on the trot and loved it there, but I'm just a kid at heart. The best holidays, the most fun I've ever had is Disneyland in Florida. Me and Jason McAteer both took our lads who were about 14, 15 at the time, and we had two twin rooms for the four of us. And we'd done 10 days in Disneyland and it was unbelievable. It was amazing.
Look at Donald.
Where's your favourite? Where's your favourite, Key? Hold on, where's your favourite?
Pretty much anywhere in Italy, to be honest.
We used to have a guy at the Revs, right? A player called Brian Kamler, right? Now, he was like 28 years of age. And whenever we used to go away, we'd get on the plane and you walk past. He'd be watching Disney movies. He'd be watching Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. And we're like, ah, what's he doing? He's like, no, he's just a Disney nut. Like that.
Yeah. One of my daughters is the same. She's
not 28.
Well, she's 20 now.
And a geezer.
Well, she's 20 now, and we watch Disney all the time when she's home.
Yep, I'm all for that too. I'm all for the old Disney film.
Don't get me wrong.
Luca, streaming now on Disney Plus. Anyway, that will do it for the latest edition of Extra Time. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks to the guys for answering the questions as well. You can always stay up to date with everything that's going on in the world of football by watching us daily.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.